All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring our take our faith at Beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazarov. With me, as always, Pastor Dave Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Lisa Carter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
All right, jumping in.
Woo.
We tried to do a little intro.
Some days it just doesn't happen.
No.
Doesn't have it. Yeah, we talked a while.
Yeah, yeah, we did. We had a great conversation.
We had some funny things.
Nothing. Yeah, nothing good or
edifying or
or appropriate for our podcast. Yeah,
it's fine.
Yes. Not inappropriate talk, but just not appropriate just
for the podcast. Yeah, right. Sometimes you got to get that out of your system now.
Yeah.
All right. Did you have a legit happy Thanksgiving?
Oh, now that we're actually.
Yeah.
Because we posted a podcast where we said we had a great happy Thanksgiving.
I was true then, and it's true now. I had a good Thanksgiving. Yeah.
I had so many casseroles. It was great.
How many?
Separately?
I was not expecting her to count this. All right. Six?
Six, yeah.
Mashed potatoes?
It's not a casserole.
I mean, if it's baked in a casserole dish,
it's not a casserole.
Okay, so you're not counting mashed potatoes.
Sweet potato casserole.
Okay, sweet potato. All right.
Hot chicken salad.
What?
Green bean casserole.
Okay.
Corn casserole.
Okay.
Chicken pie.
Sure.
Which is,
all right.
I'm counting as a casserole.
Okay.
And a pea casserole.
Cool. It's a lot of casseroles.
I like for you that you are proud of the amount of casseroles you have eaten.
Yeah.
I was in South Carolina. They were all tasty.
Disappointed. Casseroles are not good.
It depends on where you're having them and who's
That's
baking
true.
Them.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a thing. Like, I'm maybe coming for the Midwest for a second.
Uh-oh.
Midwestern casseroles are different from Southern casseroles.
Tater tot hot dish.
That's very Minnesota. I don't even want to claim that as Midwest.
It's just I'm not saying they're all bad, but they're very different.
They are different.
And they tend to be more bland in Minnesota. In the Midwest.
Yeah, a lot of things are.
Yeah.
I mean, but they don't have to be.
Everyone should like what they like.
That. Yeah. I love that for you if you're into it.
But that's gross.
But it's terrible. But have you had a good casserole?
I mean, I've had casseroles. I mean, well documented my stance on Thanksgiving.
So. Yeah, he hates it.
On all good things.
Yeah.
Not all good things.
Yep. Not all good things.
All good things. Patrick hates them.
Not all good things.
All of them.
Lots of good things.
You hate animals.
I don't.
You do, though.
I don't hate animals. I don't have any hatred towards
pets.
Animals.
Pets in general.
I don't need pets in my house. I do not hate animals.
Honestly, the most excited I've been in a long time is when I found out that you got a dog.
It's the most excited you've been in a long time?
Yeah,
that's a weird thing.
Vicariously for Amanda.
Sure. Yeah. She's very excited.
Yeah.
And Penny's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're all trying to figure out.
Are we?
How to make humanity better.
Are we?
I gave up on that. I'm over it.
Yeah.
Flood it.
Flood it.
All right. We got a new social experiment to figure out how to make humanity better.
Is this a real social experiment
or
is this one person calling up churches and finding out?
This is a real social experiment.
Okay. What do you got?
The answer all along is Batman.
Yeah, excellent. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
What does Batman do for us?
Which Batman?
Ooh, that's true.
That's true.
Val Kilmer.
No.
George Clooney?
I'm a Christian Bale
fan. I mean, sure. Yeah, Christian Bale is great.
Dark
but
Knight.
Like, I think like classic or classic
Robert
Batman.
Pattinson, I cannot.
No. He's out of here. Yeah.
No. Or Ben Affleck.
No.
No.
Okay. There you go.
Of the originals, George Clooney.
Yeah.
Adam West.
Oh, sure. Okay. Old school. I like that.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, this is the thing. The Batman effect.
Okay.
They did an experiment on a subway car, and they put Batman on a subway car.
Just a dude.
Oh,
in a,
I saw this. People
dude in a Batman
offered
set.
Their seat to somebody pregnant, right? Who
Correct.
Needed to sit down if Batman was on the car.
Yes, Batman's presence made people more kinder and better behaved on the subway car.
Right.
Now, was this like a legit looking Batman, or is this just like me in a Batman costume that doesn't fit?
Mm.
It says it is you, Pastor David. This was you.
This was you. Why don't you tell us about it?
I don't even know. Yeah.
Basically, they had a pregnant woman come on a subway car.
Uh-huh. A full subway car.
How often or how many people would offer the
seat. Get the seat, sure.
And then they had a pregnant woman and Batman come on a subway car.
Wait, they came on together?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Different, same car, but different like entrances.
Okay.
And to see... Who's going to offer the seat then?
Right.
Batman is here.
It's not like Batman was escorting this pregnant woman onto the car.
And glaring at you.
Like she's Mrs. Batman.
Your seat.
Yes.
This is my seat now. So Batman's presence offered 67% of passengers offered their seats when Batman was present, compared to just over 37% when Batman wasn't there.
Just to be clear, he said passengers, not pastors. It's kind of sounded like pastors for a second there.
Yeah.
67% of pastors.
Saw Batman. I better give it my seat.
Right.
Women were almost completely unaffected.
That makes sense.
So they
yeah.
didn't give up their seat regardless, or they no, were no. always giving up their seat?
In
no
both cases, women, 68% of women offered Batman, offered a seat with Batman there, and 65% without him.
Okay, so let me ask, so if you got a full subway car,
I
presumably there's more than one woman on this car.
Yeah.
So like, how do you know, like, if 5 out of 20 women offer their seat, because the other 15 are like, oh, well, clearly there are 5 other seats, I don't need to give up mine. Like, does that discount all the others?
Well, I don't know if they do it, like, X amount of times, and it's just anyone offered a seat.
Yeah, and was it male or female in that time? Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
so, okay, all right,
so,
all right.
Yeah, so, yeah. But
I got a lot of questions for the study. Also, did they try any other superheroes?
Just Batman. Right. Yep. And surprisingly, 44% of the time, people didn't even notice that Batman was there in the first place.
That makes sense to me. Because we're all like face down in our phones.
Sure. Yeah.
Batman, his mere presence.
How do they know people didn't notice Batman?
They asked them. It's an experience. So they asked him afterwards, why would you give up your seat?
So we saw you give up your seat. Why'd you do it?
Correct.
And some people said Batman.
And some people said not Batman.
They're like, oh, well, Batman was on the car with me.
So I gave up. Yeah,
I had to impress Batman.
Right.
And look, I get it. I would want to as well.
Why didn't Batman give up his seat?
Batman just walked on. He didn't have a seat, okay? Although, what's Batman doing on the subway? Come on.
Right.
You know, he's got your own car.
Yeah, come on. You don't need the subway.
Motorcycle, a plane.
Slumming it down here. Right. Come on, yeah.
Also, you're a ninja. You don't need the subway.
Yeah, you just ride on top of the car.
Right.
But would he give a seat up on top of the car to a pregnant woman?
Hey, lady.
I bet he would.
You can eat up here.
Yeah, so there you go. This study could inform strategies to promote altruistic behaviors in daily life.
Could.
How?
Should it though? More Batmans.
More Batmans. More Batmans.
Our next stewardship Sunday, we're just going to have Batman standing in the corner.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I have a costume in my office. I have a Batman costume. I'll put it on, and I'll stand up there while people bring up their bring in their donation pledges.
It's just going to be your beard under the bat mask.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where is she?
Right.
Rachel. There you go.
That was Christian Bale, Batman.
Probably. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, he does the voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. All right, there you go. The Batman effect.
Okay. I want to know what other superheroes this might work with.
Batman's the Law and Order one.
I mean, Superman is the altruistic one,
yeah,
though,
right?
He's the
one.
He's kind of, I don't know.
You know, he does seem like...
He's caring for humanity sake. Like, that's all he's in it for.
Yeah, nerd.
Yeah, well, that's fun. Green Lantern, nobody's standing up for him.
No.
People are like, who's that weirdo?
Right. Well, there's like a villain that's green as well, so it's kind of confusing.
I don't think enough people would know who is Green Lantern. Right. That's Green Lantern. I mean, I think Superman is could get some traction. Yeah. I think Captain America could.
Sure.
Yeah, and if it's Spider-Man, I think that's just what you see in
yeah, like, of course
in
Spider-Man
New York,
yeah.
And I'm going to have to go pay $10 to take a picture with him.
Right. He's going to beat you up if you don't pay him.
Yeah.
When I went to the New York with the youth group, my joke that I told them was that Spider-Man paid $10 to take a picture with me.
How'd they like that joke?
I thought it was good.
I didn't ask how you liked it. How did they like that joke?
Irrelevant.
Yeah.
Irrelevant.
All right. To our friends at Christianity Today.
Okay.
Our new besties. Yep.
New besties.
The bracelet and everything.
This is from Dorothy Little Greco.
Dorothy Little Greco, as opposed to her sister Dorothy Medium Greco and
Littell?
I would say Littell, probably.
L-I-T-T-E-L or L-E?
L-I-T-T-E-L-L.
Oh, E-L-L, yeah, Littell, okay.
Littell. Dorothy, I'm glad we solved that.
Yeah. I think. Yeah.
This is her fault for having such a difficult name.
And her sister Dorothy Medium.
Medium.
They're both named Dorothy.
I know, apparently.
It's going to be confusing.
Their names are Littell and Medium, all right? So why not have the same first name?
It's a Tyler Perry character.
Blaming women harms us all.
Oh. Yep.
Okay. When we fail to protect
women. Wait, so should we start blaming women?
Like Jesus, we all lose.
Wait, read that sentence again.
When we fail to protect and honor women like Jesus, we all lose.
Oh, okay. So Jesus wants us to protect and honor women.
I believe so.
Okay.
And if you blame them, it harms us all.
Okay. Okay. That's what we're getting from the headline. Got it.
That's what I'm dissecting from the headline.
So this is not an hour of us blaming Elise for stuff. That's not what this episode is.
That's what I was worried it was going to turn into, if I'm being honest.
I mean, can it be?
Yeah. It's not blaming woman. It's woman. Okay. So, like, we can blame a woman.
Yeah,
we can
blame Elise for whatever
we want. Fair game, yeah.
Anyone is fine.
Just not all women. Got it. Okay.
And I agree. It's not all women's fault about the podcast.
Hashtag not all women.
The podcast, yeah. Yeah, stuff on this podcast. It could very well be my fault, honestly.
All right, we're starting off here from Dorothy. Jesus loved women. During his earthly reign, he healed, protected, taught women from all walks of life. They were his friends, disciples, supporters. Women were among the last to leave his crucifixion and the first to spread the good news of the resurrection. Following Jesus' lead, the first century church also valued women and empowered them to serve alongside men in key leadership roles.
True.
Phoebe, Junia, Priscilla. All commended by Paul.
Nailed it.
Yep. Early church seemed to grasp that men and women would need to partner together if they hope to bring God's justice and shalom to the world.
Shalom.
That means peace.
Oh, thank you. God's shalom. I like how we just like threw in that word in the sea.
Dorothy threw
it
in there.
English terms.
Blame Miss Littell. Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
That's her middle name.
I don't know.
Miss Greco.
Greco. Oh,
blame Miss Geico. Geico? Miss Geico. Miss Littell Geico. There it is.
Unfortunately, it didn't take long for some church leaders and theologians to revert to pre-Christian thinking regarding gender equality and oneness in Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by not long, we mean like first couple centuries. We reverted pretty quickly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we ever get there all the way? Like,
I mean, define all the way, I guess, would be the question. Yeah. What do you mean by all the way?
Like, was it legitimately like the standard, the status quo was that men and women were seen as equals in the church and served equally? Was that ever attained, or was that an ideal that was talked about and then never reached?
I don't know that there's ever a point where that would be fully realized in all communities. I think there is evidence to suggest that there was female leadership in a lot of communities, but they were still in a male-dominated society. So outside of that community, what did that look like? I mean, it's, hard to say.
When the disciples...
It was probably better than it was in a lot of places for women in the church. Right. But
I mean, when the disciples did think through, hey, we need a 12th disciple because Judas killed himself.
They did not consider any women.
They did not consider any women, They found men of upstanding, things like that. I mean, I think it was not fully realized at the time. And it may, in humanity, maybe it'll take a while before we ever fully get there. Even in the best of communities and the best of situations. But it was better.
Yeah.
For a minute. There was a minute where it was better.
And then it got worse.
And then it got worse.
And then in some places, it's better now than it was then.
Some places, yeah.
Some places. And in others, it's not so much.
Not really any different.
Maybe even worse. All right. So she's not going to go through... examples of Christians and scripture blaming women.
Cool.
All right. So first we have Tertullian.
Yeah.
That's great.
I love Tertullian.
Yeah.
You love Tertullian?
Well, I mean, I know him. I don't love
his name.
Because he's about to say some awful things.
Oh, no.
I should probably distance myself here.
Yeah.
No, he's a famous early theologian. Tertullian's, well known in that.
Christian convert and influential apologist charged women with Christ's death.
Whoops.
Yeah.
You are the devil's gateway. You are the unsealer of that forbidden tree. You are the first deserter of the divine law. You are she who presided with whom the devil was not valiant enough to attack. You destroyed so easily God's image, man, on account of your desert that is death. Even the Son of God had to die.
I'm glad the desert is not death. That would be sad.
So she who presided with he whom the devil was not valiant enough to attack is a sick nickname. Like, I know he's not trying to compliment anybody, but it slaps.
I want that on a name tag. Yeah.
So when you have your titles.
It's going to be, I'm going to start signing my emails. She who presided with he who the devil was not valiant enough to attack.
It's like in Game of Thrones. Like Daenerys has like freer of slaves. Mother of dragons. This is the things that just be proclaimed about you
whenever Elise walks into a room.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I need somebody with a scroll reading it off.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like that. Yeah, I just
if
want
I'm
that.
Ever
I just want
like
Batman
a
to be there when I walk into the room.
I'm gonna hire somebody to do this. Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
I won't tell you I win the lottery, but there will be signs.
Employment opportunity. Yeah. I appreciate you
somewhere
giving
to creating to jobs. Announce your arrival.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she won't tell us because the person announcing it will tell us. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Annalise won't have to say anything.
Yes.
Right. Yep.
Winner of lotteries.
Winner of lotteries.
Okay. That's pretty harsh.
Yeah.
That
so,
is, yeah.
I mean, so I historically and even biblically, I think the problem of blaming women is really rooted in how we read Genesis 3. And
yeah.
I mean, so we could
give us a refresher on Genesis 3.
Genesis 3 would be...
I know it, but for people
right,
who
sure.
Don't.
For Genesis 3 would be Adam and Eve in the garden.
Sure.
And the serpent comes and says to Eve something along the lines of, you know, why don't you try this fruit? And Eve's like, this is great. And then she gives it to Adam. And because she's the first one in the story to take the fruit, theologically, people have been like, it's women's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not in the text, but is also not the full point of the story, right? The point of the story is Adam was also present for that both of them are choosing this life. Adam is the first one to blame someone else for this rather than take responsibility himself. Like, both of them are removed from the... Right? It is sin entering humanity. It is not women forcing sin upon anyone, right? And so it's a misreading of the story, in my opinion.
I agree.
I'd say it's stronger than an opinion, I think, but yeah.
Agreed. And...
But that's certainly where Tertullian is coming from. Like when he talks about that title that you love, he's talking about Eve being in the garden with Adam, and yeah. Adam was too righteous for the devil to attack Adam, so the devil had to attack Eve, which is just ridiculous. Yeah. There's no reason to believe that that's the case.
Yeah, I would definitely say Paul sometimes blames Eve and also sometimes blames Adam.
Yep.
So like, you know.
Equal opportunity.
As they're exploring, you know, the theology of mm-hmm. sin and how the cross redeems it. Could be Adam's fault, could be Eve's fault. We're blaming both.
Yep.
You know. The whatever it is, Jesus is clearly the remedy to whomever did that.
Yeah.
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 I think, you know, it matters a little, maybe more than a little bit, but it matters at least a little bit how you view Genesis and the creation story, right?
Sure.
Like, are you viewing it as like a literal, this is what happened, like history mm-hmm. story, or is it more metaphor? Like, that also informs a lot of how you think about sin and blame and women's role in that.
Yeah, I think it also matters that we start from a position, are we starting from the position of understanding that Genesis 1, the 7 days of creation, has already established that humanity was created good. Right? So are we starting from a place that humanity was supposed to be good and humanity made a choice? Or are we starting from a place that says, oh, the first thing this woman does after she was created is something evil, women must be evil, right? Like, which one are we starting from here?
Right.
And I think if we start from the framework of we were all created good and somehow all of humanity has chosen something different, it's less about blame and more about trying to understand what is it that's led us astray. And it's not, it's not women did this. It's, humanity over and over has chosen not to align ourselves with what God desires for us. We've chosen to take things that were not meant to be ours. And that's the problem. And it,
Yeah, you know, look, whomever you want to put the blame on, Adam, Eve, both, they're
the
not
serpent.
The reason I choose to do bad things today.
Right.
That I am selfish today.
Yeah.
I mean, they may be, you know, theologically speaking, the reason sin entered the world, but I am choosing to be selfish, to be greedy, to be prideful. Those are things
I'm glad
that
Patrick's finally acknowledging
this.
This
seems
like
a
really
confessional.
Growth.
Yeah. That I choose to do. Irregardless of whom brought in sin to the world.
Sure.
So, all right. She's got a book written. So, for the love of women.
I love this for her.
Yeah. All right. So we're talking about, she's going to now shift to talk about misogyny, hatred of women.
Mm-hmm.
She says, it's the insidious belief, this is for her, a persistent insidious belief that men's wants, needs, and experiences are more important than women's, and that political, religious, and social systems, as well as intimate relationships, should uphold this principle.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
These belief systems subsequently influence the laws, practices, and ethos of a given culture.
Yeah.
So I've seen from some of our, you know, Christian neighbors,
mm-hmm.
who I vehemently disagree with.
Are we going to use that term lightly? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they are Christians, you know, who's my neighbor is a question that
sure.
Yeah. Are these next door neighbors or are these like high level my neighbor?
Yeah, high level neighbors.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Have started advocating for the repeal of the 19th Amendment.
Mm.
That's the one that gave the women the right to vote.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was like, refresh us on the 19th Amendment. That's embarrassing.
I know it's close to prohibition, so God, which one was
right,
that?
Right.
Yeah. That women should no longer be able to vote. It should be one vote, a family vote.
Family vote. Love this for us.
Obviously cast by the man.
Sure. At what age do you become a family?
Yeah, exactly. Define family. Okay.
Like, what if you're a single person?
That's a good question. I don't know what the asterisks are. You know,
I'm sure there are asterisks.
I'm sure you fall under your father's vote at that point.
You do.
Or your grandfather's
until you're married.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're a single man. Yeah. Single men get to vote for themselves.
That's obvious. Yeah.
Landowning single men. Right. No renters.
No renters.
And then quite a tremendous lament on the reason America has so many problems is because of how women vote.
Oh, right. And also we're headstrong and in the workforce.
So I will say the reason that this particular belief and culture has so many problems is probably because of how women vote, because women are not going to vote for misogynistic policies that keep men in power.
Correct. Oh, but they do. That's another kettle of fish.
Well, sure. But like,
we've seen it happen.
That's fair. But like, from the point of view of these people who are supporting this particular position, what they've seen is women get the power to vote. And women having the power to vote means less power for them.
Yeah.
Right? And so the correlation that they're drawing is, oh, women vote, I lose power. I don't want to lose power. I want my power back. Let's not let women vote anymore. Yeah. Which is not, it's just not, I mean, I guess it's true in one sense, but it's not true in the sense of what is best for a society, is best for a community, is what God desires for us. Like,
yeah.
Even outside of politics, like I don't believe that God desires for us a world in which one gender is dominated by the other in all things. Like, that just is not the picture that we're presented with when Paul writes things like there's no longer male or female in the kingdom of God. Well, I mean, that's just not what we're pointed to.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think the problem is so many people have read Paul's writings, other writings and scriptures, and come away with the idea that the patriarchy is the
I don't disagree.
The blueprint.
I
guess in fairness to Paul, there are plenty of people who did not read those letters and also came away with the idea that patriarchy is the blueprint.
Yeah, it wasn't just him.
yeah.
To be fair. Yeah.
I think they started with patriarchy and
Red Paul.
And Red Paul.
Yeah.
And then landed on, patriarchy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Oh, man. There's a great podcast that unfortunately I cannot say the name of on this podcast.
Is it Are You the Wrong One? Is that?
Am I the wrong one? No, because it has a bad word in it. But find me at some point and I can in person and I can point you towards it if you're interested. But
is it only the bad word? Like, what's the rest of the title around the bad word?
The Ethics of Blank.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Fill that in as you wish, listeners.
As you wish, yeah. But it's...
Ethics is a really inappropriate word, by the way.
Yeah. Ethics is, yeah.
You have to bleep that out.
Not the E word. Anyway, they go into this whole, like, from a historical perspective and a theological perspective, like, the rise of patriarchy and, like, how that went. It's fascinating about, you know, how we moved from, like, more equal partnership at the dawn of time, right, towards civilization and farming, and how patriarchy rose alongside that because it became about ownership and land rights and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, all this to say that it was not just Paul, and I do think that Paul moved the needle forward in that regard a little bit. Other regards,
I mean,
a whole lot.
I'm not going to sit here and say Paul was perfect, right? Yeah. There are plenty of times when I've been talking about the history of slavery in this country, and I would wish that Paul had just said, hey, dummies, slavery is not what God wants for us, right?
Yeah.
Like, I wish that this is what Paul had written. But what Paul did write advanced the culture from where it was, right? And how do we see the Spirit continue to work in that today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what's hard, and I can say what's hard for me, you know, like, think of, like, misogyny is wrong. But yet, I think everyone, it's even good men out there, think, I'll reread her definition, a persistent insidious belief that men's wants, needs, and experiences are more important than women's, and that political, religious, and social systems, as well as intimate relationships, should uphold this principle. I think it's an easy trap to fall in.
Mm-hmm.
One, because of innate social power that men are going to have, and two, because of selfishness. Right?
Like, you're saying misogyny is an easy trap to fall in?
Yes.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. And so I think even good places who are wanting to uplift women still think, but my experiences are the right ones.
Sure.
Yeah.
And not yours.
Yeah.
That these are the things. And I think that this is, it's more than just being like kind. You've got to figure how to attack this idea within oneself. And that is much more challenging. You know, like that is a challenging thing to do. So it's not just saying like, well, I voted for a woman.
Yeah.
But I also think that, you know, like my wants, needs, and experiences are just more important.
Yeah.
Both those things can be true at the same time. Like you still could vote for a woman or you could still work for a woman, but I still think my wants, needs, and experiences are just more important as a man.
Yeah. So it sounds like we've kind of agreed that we are blaming women for a lot of things and it's...
Well, yeah. Not the podcast.
Sometimes you do. Blame me.
Yeah, blame you. Well, man.
Woman. But that we are blaming women for things kind of high level and that we wish that we weren't, but how does it harm us all? Like, what's the piece of this article that's... Mm.
Sure. So...
Yeah, why am I worse off because I blame women?
I mean, I have my opinions on this, but I would like to hear.
I think...
Miss Littell.
There are...
Geckos.
I
think this is a claim I don't think she does a great job of landing the plane on.
Oh.
Okay.
I think we can... I'm 100% with her. Like,
Because we need to read her book? Is that why she doesn't land the
plane? Maybe.
This is a pitch for the book. I respect it. Got to sell books. Move that product.
I think... So here's some of the things. That she will kind of like highlight. By categorically subordinating women, we make it more difficult to see them as image bearers and value them as beloved daughters.
Sure.
I agree. You know, like... Mm-hmm. Or we value them as... We see them as daughters needing protecting and raising and not co-equal partners. So, I mean, so I think you could say like, I see women as valuable daughters, but men as fathers, you know, like think like that instead of men as sons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that is a way you could say you're doing that, but missing the point. Yeah. I think, you know, that she's going to say like, it's easier for us now to identify with male perpetrators than female victims as society or even as like kind of men in power. It's easy. It's just easier for them to identify with other men in power instead of female victims.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think, again, that's probably even just like good men can fall into that trap, not just like evil men do that.
Yeah.
I think it's just that is a thing that you just have to be cognizantly aware of, that my natural instinct is going to be identifying people who look, act, and sound like me and not those that don't.
Yeah.
And I need to fight against those things. So instead of seeing somebody who has power in a situation, and usually, you know, in culture and church, that's a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I have to trust and listen to those that are victims and not just say like, well, this is when churches look at a man and say like, well, he's doing so many good things,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the community,
mm-hmm.
or he's a good man deep down. That was a mistake. You know, I think that's the way we kind of rationalize these things. Any language around, and she's going to talk about this, like, a rapist claims the victim was asking for it because what he was wearing, you know, it harms us all. Teenage girls are blamed for men's lustful thoughts. And when high-ranking Southern Baptist Convention official refers to SBC, that's Southern Baptist Convention, sexual abuse survivors as a satanic scheme to completely distract us from evangelism.
Mm.
Another fire nickname.
A satanic scheme? Your nicknames are really a mouthful. I'm just
I know. We need to shorten these down a little bit.
Yeah.
Completely distracting from evangelism. The shorthand.
Yeah. I'm here to completely distract you from evangelism. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's very creative, right? Like, we have to lift up, like, because we want to do evangelism, which is a good thing, we have to ignore the abuse of women because
well, it's not, I mean, his claim would be that it's not real, right? If they're a satanic thing that's raised up, it's like, oh, this is just the devil distracting us with these claims that aren't even really found. Well, I mean, that would be the argument.
I think we went through the seven claims 2 weeks ago. So I think it also is like, yeah, it's real, but evangelism is realer.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the more important than supporting these victims.
Sure.
You know, and they were probably asking for it anyway.
Yeah. So like all of these things like are like these statements she's making, I think are real and awful. And I think they harm women, obviously. I have yet to see how they harm men. I think most of these things at first blush, I know you said she didn't do a very good job landing a plane on this one. I'm agreeing with that because I think at first blush, at least, most of these stances prop up the power of men that already exists, right? Like, and that's kind of the point, is that they perpetuate the power of men. I would love to see something, a discussion more about like studies that have been done about like more matriarchal societies that have lower violence rates and like higher mental health satisfaction ratings and that sort of thing. Like to me, that's a discussion about how blaming women harms us all, right? And not just the women that we're blaming.
Yeah. So I think I hear you and I would love to see that as well. I think where I can get to it harms us all is in the same kind of way that Martin Luther King used to talk about, injustice for one is injustice for all, right? That as a society, so long as these things are happening to members of our community, we're all worse off for it.
And I agree. I just think it's first blush, that's not obvious, agreed. Right? Yeah. And I think it is.
You have to make
practically, it's propping up the power of men that's already there.
Right. All of these things are in place because they're propping up the power of men. And so as men, we have to acknowledge, I'm actually worse off than I could, right? Because right now, all of us are looking at this, and this group that Patrick was talking about at the beginning, right, are saying, we need to go back because I need more power, right? And as men, we need to say, no, I don't need more power. I need more of the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, this is not the vision that I'm supposed to have. So if this stuff exists, we as a society are further from the kingdom of God than we're intended to be. And we have to put ourselves into that stance. And I think this is the difference between being someone who just says, oh, I voted for a woman, and being someone who advocates, you know, to support women and to lift up their roles, right? Is to say, like, I need to intentionally step back. I need to, not pursue this position of power because there are very capable women who should be able to do it instead of me, right? And and I need to be okay with the fact that I might get passed over for a job because there's a very capable woman that's doing that job, and not just assume, oh, that's a, what's the word I'm looking for?
DEI.
Yeah, that's a DEI hire, right? And there's no way she could be more qualified than me. Like we have to get ourselves as men out of that mindset because it is ultimately hurting us. And we don't feel it right away because, as you said, right, it's all propping us up. So it's easy for us to live in this fantasy of I'm fine, but we have to remove ourselves from that picture to see the bigger element that's going on here.
Yeah. And I absolutely agree.
I hear you.
I think that, you know, to kind of undo some of this thinking, we're going to have discussions about like, okay, but what are the tangible ways that, women are uplifted, that it benefits everybody, right?
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that is part of the challenge, right? Like, if we have a hierarchical structure, the people at the top being like, give up more power, more influence, more of what the things you want and desire in this world, and trust me, on the other side, things will be better without those, even though you're losing access to the things you value so dearly, right?
Yeah, like it's a tough sell.
Like it's easier, like, you know, slavery abolition is far easier it's a far easier message to the slaves than the slave owners. You know, like that's just the reality. Because for them, they have to think through, this is so much of how my society, my world is built, will be shattered.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that world should be shattered, but I agree with you, Elise. Like, these are wrong, but getting there is very difficult, especially when it benefits me.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, and that's just a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
If I'm blameless and women are blamed, it's hard for me to be like, I think you should blame me too. Like, you know, like that's hard to step into, you know, versus I'm the victim, you know, or I'm a power. And I think that that is quite the challenge, and it's hard to kind of maybe quantify it beyond like, it's wrong. And maybe the world will be, for some of us, the world will be harder for all of us to have it better.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a tougher sell.
I don't disagree. Yeah. It is a tougher sell. And, you know, politically and socially, I think those are the right conversations that we need to have. From the perspective of the church, I don't want to say it should be enough, but I feel like it should be enough to say my members of the body of Christ are suffering because of my benefit. And from the perspective of the church, that should be what we're after. Mm-hmm. Societally, we need to have those bigger conversations, but the church should not be continuing to purport this and say like, oh, well, it's okay because I have power, right? We should be getting out of the way. We should be leading in this, not following something else.
Yeah, I will say from a church perspective, the two biggest, you know, in America, the two big church denominations that have the largest number of sex scandals over the last 50 years would have been the Catholic Church and the Southern Baptist Church.
Yep.
Both of them have exclusively male leadership. Yep. Mm-hmm. So saying like, that is a way that this protects us all. Like those churches under exclusively male leadership had those kinds of things because it was too easy for men at the top to look at other men as to identify with other men instead of victims.
Mm-hmm.
And too easy for them to say like, well, that guy's never said anything weird around me.
Right.
Or to me. But organizations where women are uplifted equal to men do not have the same level of sexual scandal. Now, not to say like
not none.
There's bad apples in everywhere, but not the same of we've got to protect the pastor or the priest and not protect the victim. And I think that is one way that is clearly we can see that that in church, in Christian communities, if your church is navigating a sexual scandal and the only people dealing with it are men, I think that's a problem. Like, I think even if they're good men, I think it's just too easy to land on. I think you need strong female voices in that space.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so we got to stop blaming Elise for things.
Well, again, we still can blame Elise.
Okay. All right.
Just not thanks, guys. All women.
Not all women.
Not all women, just Elise.
Hashtag just Elise.
Yeah.
All right. You know, she ends with, like, Jesus shows us how to untie the misogynic knots that have bound us all by unconditionally loving and respecting women. And if our goal is to become more like Christ and bring peace, healing, and restoration to the world, we need to follow his examples. So, there you go.
There you go.
There we go.
Untie those misogynistic knots.
Yeah.
Do you feel unbound?
No. After this conversation, it's going to take more than that.
Fair enough. All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode, you can find all of our stuff at beyondsundaypodcast.com and shoot us an email at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com and let us know, what did we talk about at the beginning?
Batman.
Yeah, let us know what superhero you want to see on a subway station or on a subway train. That's what we want to know. Yep.
Yeah. Look, I get it. I would want to impress Batman.
I would too. Yeah.
So, sure.
Yeah.
Or Batwoman.
I mean, if Batgirl shows up on the train, are you that concerned with impressing her?
Catwoman is cooler.
Sure, I would impress Catwoman. Yeah, I'm down with that. Yeah.
Okay. Wonder Woman?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
If it's Gal Gadot.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
She's ripped, so yeah. You can have my seat. Don't hurt me.
Yeah, not the pregnant lady, but you. You can have my seat.
Yeah. I would be offering my seat to Batman.
Right. Which, does that count?
Making pregnant women stand up to give the seat to Batman.
Ma'am.
He's a hero. Okay?
Batman needs a place to sit.
He's going to sit next to me.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.